So you would think that on a silent retreat, it would be very easy to love your neighbor. You can't talk to anybody. My 30-day proved me wrong last year. Because first couple of days, you take time to figure out what is my prayer routine really going to be? Where am I going to take my holy hours in the various chapels that are here? So I had kind of settled on right before our noon mass to take a holy hour in the chapel that we had mass in, which was kind of nestled in this wooded area. And there were just enough sort of open windows that you could see out into the beauty of nature, but you also had a really, really beautiful altar. But then there was birdsong, or an attempt at birdsong, right? So I knew it wasn't actually birds singing. I went, there is somebody outside who is on retreat who thinks that they're talking to the birds. There was a Franciscan on retreat with me. And for the first few days, I was sitting there going, of course it's a Franciscan. He thinks he's some St. Francis wannabe talking to the birds. Then a little bit later, a few days later, I met Vito the parrot. And Vito was a parrot owned by one of the priests who lived at the retreat center. And Vito imitated bird song badly. So I discovered I had been blaming my brother Franciscan for an annoying parrot's problem. But as laughable as it is, how much does that capture the dynamic of human relationship, right? Here we are in this incredibly holy endeavor, both of us trying to grow deeper in love with the Lord. And immediately in creeps this annoyance and this suspicion. And for a solid few days, had me look on him with frustration. So, on this Feast of Corpus Christi, where we have so many aspects of the Lord's gift of the Eucharist that we could look at and reflect on and pray with, I want to lean into the fact that it is the gift of the Lord's body and blood that draws us together to authentic unity. And I have to admit, I have needed conversion and repentance when it comes to my approach, my understanding of unity. Because I always looked on unity as really a word that belongs more in the world. When it would come up, maybe kind of roll my eyes, pay lip service to it, but then go, yeah, but we've got more important spiritual stuff to be about. And maybe that's because of encountering definitions of unity that meant sinking to the lowest common denominator, or only thinking about what essentials we had to compromise on to get along. But it's actually been coming back here that has been the way the Lord has challenged my resistance to seeing the real beauty of authentic unity. Because we have, hands down, I would stake my reputation on it, the most diverse parishes in the Archdiocese of Dubuque. So not only do we have these sort of three cultural masses, let's say, Mass in Spanish, Mass in English, and Mass in the Extraordinary form in Latin, then we also have this parish that is historically Czech, tied to the heritage of the Czech people. We have Immaculate Conception that, for whatever reason, it's kind of been a place that if you haven't found a home in another parish, it's IC that's your home. We have highest number of young people, young families, I think, in the city, but we also have plenty of you who are, as we might say, wisdom figures. It's wonderful diversity of ages. We have the highest number of homeschooling families in the city. We also have plenty who are connected to the Xavier Catholic School System, and plenty of you who go to public school as well. However you want to choose to slice our parishes demographically, we are incredibly diverse. And so that was one of my biggest anxieties coming back as pastor. I was worried about how do all of these different pieces get balanced? How do I make sure everyone has enough? Because I don't think I can give enough. I don't know what the answers are to take care of everybody. And you all were amazing, have been, since I've been back. Because instead of approaching each other with suspicion, looking to make sure that you can get enough, the conversations have always been, what do we do to take care of each other? I hear you talk about the other communities, making sure that Mass times work for them, being excited about bringing other languages, other music, into our liturgical celebrations. There hasn't been the sort of posturing and fighting for, well, but our parish or our community, or I want my kind of preferred thing. Instead, there has been this willingness to give to one another. And ultimately, it's because for all of our diversity, we are parishes focused on Jesus. And that is the only place that authentic unity comes from. Because the kind of unity that maybe makes us draw back a little bit is ultimately supposed to be generated by us. But by looking at Jesus, by pursuing him as we are, different as we are, he is the one who knits us together. We see this in the gospel. The apostles come and say, look, here is this need. We don't have enough. And Jesus doesn't say, figure it out on your own. Be really clever about how you partition out those loaves. It is by going to him that the miraculous happens, that his grace provides for what we're not able to do. Now, Mass is, of course, not a time just to hear what's going well, but it's also the place where we experience that call to conversion, call to fix our eyes on Jesus. So what does that look like for our communities? I didn't just tell the story about Vito the parrot because it's funny, but because it shows how easy, even in the holiest of places, for division and suspicion to creep in and poison that which is really beautiful, that which is in pursuit of the Lord. So as we think of whatever demographic we belong to, where have we heard the whisper to look at each other, especially in our communities, with suspicion? This can come to us in 1,000 different ways. Maybe it's, why don't those Latin Mass people just get with the times? Why does our Mass time have to be so late in the day? Or we bring our political perspectives first to people who are brothers and sisters in Christ. We could go on countless ways of how these sorts of divisions and suspicions might come to us. Because among our communities, there are voices in the world and voices in the church that would say that we should be looking at each other with questions and suspicion and division. And we are a beautiful illustration of a community that so far has resisted that, but Jesus never looks at us and says, good enough. So as we are coming to him today in the Eucharist, we are asking that not only will he sustain some sort of delicate balance, but that he will deepen our love and desire to come to know one another by coming to know him better. So as we think about, where have I been experiencing suspicion? Who would be the people I'm least likely at lunch after Mass to sit with? Jesus, they're here so they want you. I'm here so I want you. I need your love for them. Because just as intensely as you're seeking me, you're seeking them too, and we have at least that much, you, in common. And this goes beyond just our parishes, but parishes are supposed to be right the beating heart of the life of Christ in the world. It goes to our families. It goes to marriages, parents and children, friends, workplace. Unity, union, is not just some political buzzword. We need to take it back from the world. Because the unity of the gospel is the unity that imitates Jesus and says, I will lay down my life for the other. Not, I will find some place where we can be in peaceful suspicion. So it is, in fact, a deeply important part of the spiritual life, a mission that God has called us to bring him our need. I don't have enough. I don't have enough love to go around. My suspicions are pretty deep inset from my upbringing or from bad experiences that I've had. I've listened to those divisive voices of the world or of the church. Jesus, I need your spirit to bring new freshness. Fix my eyes on you, who provide the impossible, who provide the miraculous. This is how we extend the grace of the Eucharist to the world. We are united to Jesus, made members of him. And in that, then, fellow members with one another. And so as we bear his life and his light to the world, as we go out from this place, it becomes a challenge to a divided world. Why are they able to hang together? And the answer is him. We draw others to see him. So as we continue with Mass and worship together, we ask Jesus to continually deepen the love for him in our parishes so that what our parishes look like is what we hope to experience in heaven. Perfect love of him, and in that love of him, perfect love with one another among the saints.